I just wanted to share a little message this morning on the living water of Christ. And he reveals himself in this natural way we understand as water. And, pretty much every creature on earth needs water to survive. Really, man is like, we're 60% water. I mean, we're flesh and blood, but we're actually more water than flesh and blood when you think about it. And, so there's that need for water in the natural, but then also in the spiritual. And, water has a meaning to us when we read the Bible, we see references to water or living water. Really, it's representing the life that comes from God. And of course, especially the Holy Spirit. And, one of his promises, he'll pour his spirit upon his people as water on a dry land. And, sometimes we have drought. In fact, we're kind of going through a drought here in Pinellas County. They're telling us only water once a week because there's a lack of water. But, sometimes that can translate into the spiritual realm, is we can have a lack of water. There can be a drought, and that affects the life, the vitality. If that happens too much longer here, all the grass will be brown and so forth. So we need some showers to come on our lawns and get them rejuvenated to be green again. And we could reference Isaiah 44. Here's the promise, Isaiah 44 and verse 3. I will pour water upon him that's thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. And I will pour my spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring. And so, we're praying for that. We're praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon ground that needs the Spirit of God, that doesn't have the life flowing. We're looking at in a spiritual context. But, even when the spiritual life comes, there's a natural effect, isn't there? Because there can be healing, right? There can be deliverance, captivity. People in spiritual captivity and bondages can be broken. It's the life of God that brings about deliverance and strength and victory. And, even in the new heavens and new earth, it talks about there's a river that flows and it brings life. And the invitation is drink. Whoever's thirsty, drink from my river. That's Revelation 22, 17. Let him that is thirsty come, and whoever will, let him just dip into that water of life freely. You can have as much as you want. And that's a picture of Christ coming, and offering us of his water of life. You can have as much as you want. There's no end. No one comes to a stream or a river and worries about drinking all of it, because it's flowing, right? And so the Lord is saying, you can't drink me dry. He'll flow if we'll come to him and ask, and we thirst, and he'll give us of the water of life freely. Now, we're first introduced to this subject of the water of life in John's gospel, in Christ's ministry anyway, where John goes up through Samaria and he meets the woman at the well. And he says, several things to her, but this notable thing he says in John 4 and verse 13 says, Jesus answered her. Of course, they're at a well and there's natural water there, but Jesus was offering her living water. And he said unto her in verse 13, whoever drinks of the water from this well shall thirst again. Verse 14, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. It shall be a water that I shall give him. It will be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And so instead of that natural well water, and I'm sure it was tasty, it's probably nice filtered water from the underground aquifer. But you could drink that in the morning and be thirsty in the afternoon. And it would be, you'd be in that same position as it, as, you know, it's as if you never drank. But what Jesus is offering is something different. He's not just offering a nice, cool cup of water or Perrier or Dasani or whatever your favorite brand, Poland Springs. But instead, it's living water. It brings life to those who drink it. And that water, it stays with you. It sustains you. It changes you. And so she said, hey, I'd like some of that water. Because she wanted to be changed. She didn't want to remain the same. She wanted the power of that water flowing through her. You know, I was just kind of reminded of a story. You know, we've all probably heard of Ben-Hur. It was a book and then a movie. But, you know, at the first half of the story, the hero, Ben-Hur, you know, he's dying of thirst as a slave in the galleys, and he's being transferred there, and, you know, he's dying of thirst, and Christ gives him a drink of water. And, you know, that kind of helped him in the natural. But later on, after he was set free, and, you know, you kind of have to read the story to understand the full context here, but he was set free afterwards. He was no longer a slave, and he was made kind of like a prince and chariot driver, but he had something in his heart that was destroying him, and it was the need for revenge, and it was the need for what he thought was justice and so forth. And, you know, because he thought his family was all dead and so forth. And he kind of described a deep thirst within his heart, and nothing could quench it, not even revenge. But eventually it was quenched as he and his whole house believed in Christ, and all of that was washed away of the past. And he just wanted to know the living God. He had drunk the natural water, and that helped him, but it was the river of life, the spiritual water, that set him free. And, you know, all of us are thirsty to some degree. We're all created the same. We all have a thirst, you know, that has to be satisfied one way or another. And we can try and satisfy it from the world or from this or that. But if it's not quenched from the Lord, you know, we will just be empty. We will be, you know, die spiritually as well as naturally without water, but spiritually. And so the Lord is here saying, take of the water of life freely. He's freely giving it so that we'll live, so that we can be satisfied and be refreshed in our lives as we walk with him. Now, we might ask the question, how do we obtain this water? Right? How can we get this living water? And that's what the lady asked Jesus. You know, how can you get this water? You don't even have a bucket. You don't have a rope, and the well is deep. And, well, Jesus said, but the water comes from me. I give it. And Jesus, he said, it shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. I'm so glad we don't have to search for it. We don't have to go somewhere. We don't have to go on a pilgrimage. You know, sometimes this idea of holiness, if you want to do something for the one you serve, you have to go on a pilgrimage, you do this, that, or the other. But that's not what Jesus is saying. We don't have to go, you know. Jerusalem is nice. It's a fun city, but we don't go there to drink of the living water. He makes it available right where we are, right in our hearts. You know, and it's to be within us wherever we go. But the name tells us how it's developed. It's a well of living water. And so here's the real question. Well, how do we establish a well of living water? And the answer is we have to dig for it. Just like if we went out there and wanted to have a source of water in the ground, we just have to get the shovel out and start digging. Now, here in Florida, you don't have to dig very far before you hit water, right? Sometimes, you know, I remember I was working on my fence to try and replace that, and I was digging holes for the fence posts, and I hit water because the water table is only about 4 feet, and sometimes it seems less. But it's, of course, it's not water you'd want to drink. It's not the pure kind of water from a well. But, you know, in the days of Abraham and Isaac, in the promised land, you know, when they needed water for their flocks, they had to dig a well. And that was a key for survival. And, you know, often that's why a town was located where it was in the Bible, because they had a well there. And everyone would go and drink from the well. You didn't want to be far from that. You didn't want to walk a mile to get your water every day. That wouldn't be practical. But, you know, our spiritual lives have to be established around a good well or a good flow from Jesus, a flow of life. And when we do that, you know, Lord, whatever we need to do, we want to do that to promote a flow of living water in our lives, in our church, in our nation, right? Our city. We're praying for a flow of living water because that's the answer for the day that we're living in. And so what we want to do now is look at natural ways that you'd establish a well, because it gives us keys to understand how a spiritual well is formed and established in our lives. And, you know, when we say natural way, we're looking at how the scripture describes it. And, you know, I mentioned Abraham and Isaac because they are two individuals who led flocks in the wilderness. They had a family, you know, a big group of people. And they always, even though they were kind of nomadic and they traveled with their flocks and herds, it was from well to well, because you couldn't survive long without a well of water to drink from. And so I wanted to read a passage, just a little bit longer passage, but it's in Genesis 26 and verse 18. And we're going to read about how Isaac had to dig out the wells that Abraham had established, but they got filled in. And so Genesis 28:6, verse 18, it says, "And Isaac, he dug again the wells of water, which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, because the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them." And then verse 19, "So Isaac's servants, they dug in the valley and they found there a well of springing water." But there was a problem, because in verse 20, it says the herdmen of Gerar, they strove with Isaac's herdmen and said, "No, this well is ours." Now, I don't really know how that works. Maybe they said, "Because this is on our land, you did the work of digging it out, but it's ours. So we're taking over." You know, and so he called the well Esek, which means strife. And it says they strove for that. And so verse 21, "So they dug another well and they strove for that also. And he called that name Sitna, which means opposition. And then verse 22, "And he removed from there and he dug another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth, which means avenue or wide place. And he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." And so we're going to look at this as an instance or as an example of the determination it takes to dig a well that's permanent and steady, that brings that permanent life. You know, the enemy does not want us to have a permanent flow of the life of Christ and the Spirit in us. Right? He knows that if there's that flow continually, then we're going to grow. Like Isaac said, now we're going to be fruitful in the land. That's because he had a permanent source of water that the enemy couldn't touch. And, you know, that's God's goal for us, to have a flow of life, a flow of his Spirit that can't be stopped, it can't be reduced, it can't be, you know, diverted, but it flows. And, you know, there's a spiritual work that has to take place in our lives for that to happen. There has to be digging. And sometimes there's opposition to that, but yet Isaac just kept on digging. He kept pursuing. He kept going. And there's different practical things we can do in our lives. You know, we could dig in prayer at times where we cry out to God. And, you know, his promise is if we call upon him, especially when we're asking for things of his Spirit, he will hear us. But yet the answer sometimes comes as we keep digging. Just like a well, I don't think anyone in the history of digging wells has put one shovel in the ground and pulled it out and said, "That's enough." They realize, "I'm in." You know, they take their coat off, hang it on something, and they get to digging because they realize this is a process and I'm going to keep going. You know, it might be 20 shovels full, it might be 200 shovels full, or it might be 1,000 shovels full, but I keep going because I want that flow of water. And, you know, God honors those who spend time with Him in prayer, who give themselves to Him. And the reward is life. In fact, in Psalm 36 and verse 9, you know, when we spend time in His presence praying and seeking Him, it says, "With you is the fountain of life, and in your light we will see light." You know, when we spend time in the presence of God before His throne, you know, we're with the one who's called the fountain of life. And that's how we will receive our living water. And of course, another practical area is the Word of God, is Scripture, of reading the Word, seeking to understand it, seeking to meditate upon it. You know, that's also described as water. And it's water that washes us. Ephesians 5:26, we're washed by the water of the Word. But I want to emphasize, there's our part to play in that, in establishing a well. Right, that He gives us the well, but we're involved in that water coming forth. You know, it's not by our own goodness, but it is by our effort is involved in that, in digging, in seeking, in crying out. I remember a story someone once shared as an illustration. There was a man in a forest who was out of water. And he was really thirsty. And so he was walking and he came across what looked like a well. And it was one of those old hand pump wells, right? So not a well in the ground with a bucket, but it was one of those hand pump wells. And, you know, you could pump that up. But he saw next to the well a little sign. And I don't know. I think this is more of a fable, or it's not like some, I don't know if it was a true story. But anyway, he saw next to this well a jar of water and a sign. And the sign said, "You can either drink this jar of water, or you can pour the water into the pump to prime the pump, and then you can have all the water you want." Right, now there's the concept of, if you've ever used a pump, sometimes you can lose prime. That's happened a couple times in my irrigation pump at home, and I've got to pour water into it and try and prime the pump to pull water out of the ground. And it's that concept. There's an effort on our part where we have to pour in. But then God responds by pouring out in with the water of life freely to give us what we need. And so there's our effort that produces results in God and in His Spirit, so that the water of life flows freely. And we could look at it in that way. Sometimes we have to prime the pump of our well through, you know, spending time with the Lord, through singing and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our heart to the Lord, so that His life continues to flow freely. And, you know, of course, we also have opposition, right? We have difficulties, and there's times when we do not feel like priming the pump. We don't feel like doing those things that promote the flow of living water. And, you know, because the enemy doesn't want the flow. And we remember that with Isaac, right? Because here he is digging a well, and the enemy comes and opposes him and causes strife, and they strove with him. And, you know, back in Genesis 26, 22, it says, "He removed from there, he dug another well, but for that they strove not." And he called it Rehoboth. And he said, "Now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." And now this was a specific experience that Isaac had. He just kept pressing in. He, you know, even though the enemy was trying to cause strife, to oppose him, and the Philistines were filling in, the wells with rocks and different things, but he kept going. And eventually he established a well that the enemy could not touch. And that's really the whole point, is God wants to give us a well that the enemy can't touch. And Rehoboth means a wide place. It's a flow that cannot be stopped. It's wide. And, you know, if we press in and continue to dig in the Word and worshiping Him in prayer, we will eventually have such an experience or such a flow where, you know, the enemy can come and try and discourage us and say this, that, and the other, but it can't stop the flow of the Spirit of God. And it's as if this well can be deep in our hearts. And the more we dig and allow God to remove, you know, the rubble, the closer we get to that well of living water. Now, there's another thought I just want to touch on here is, you know, Abraham and Lot, they came to the promised land and, you know, they, even though they had wells, they had a problem, is that they came with flocks and herds, but they didn't have enough water to support them. And, you know, we're looking for the blessing of God. We're looking for the promises, but here's something else we have to understand about having a well of living water is that, you know, the Lord wants to bless us, but he doesn't want to bless us and then we can't survive. You know, like we don't have enough to sustain us in the blessing. And that's that, you know, when Abraham and Lot were there, there was striving among their herdmen because they were blessed, but yet did not have, there was not enough to sustain them. And so the Lord wants to establish a source in us today of spiritual life. And you know, we don't want to look at this as, boy, when revival happens, there sure is going to be a flow. We want to look at it as, I need a flow today so that I can be involved, so that I can have what it takes when God moves and have a flow in me and a flow and an outflow, and the Spirit can flow through me and speak and direct and guide. And so the need is to establish that source of spiritual life before the real need comes. And, you know, we can think of the wise and foolish virgins in that example. I mean, they were both groups of virgins. They both had lamps. They both had measures of oil. But the difference was with the foolish is that they didn't establish that source that would sustain them through the whole season, through the whole time, right? So that when the bridegroom called, they were out of oil. They didn't have enough. They it would change from light to darkness because they didn't have their source established. But those wise virgins, they had a source of oil to have full vessels so that they could respond to the call. Now that's a different illustration from a, you know, from a well of living water to a lamp, you know, and an oil filled lamp to have a light burning, but they're both types of the Holy Spirit and the life that he wants to give. And so we need our flow to be established, to support us through every season, through the dry, through the wet, through the quiet, through the busy. You see, it's that well of living water that will be our source. And then one last point is there's that need to guard our well. Because Abraham, he did all the work of establishing those wells, but what happened when he had to hand the reins over to Isaac, the Philistines came and they blocked up those wells. They speak of envy and so forth. You know, the enemy does things to try and keep us from drinking. And that was in Genesis 26, 15, that we read that about the wells, which the father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. The Philistines stopped them. They filled them with earth. And so the enemy likes to throw things our way to distract us, to keep us from drinking, maybe some things that might stir us up, that might agitate us, or things that just kind of keep us distracted. Maybe some things that might work us up. It could be offenses. It could be, things that get us angry or upset or dissatisfied. But when we turn to the living water, he helps us get through all of those things so that there will be a flow that will sustain us. But if the rocks and the dirt remain, if they're not dealt with, removed, washed away, eventually what happens is the well gets so shallow that you can't drink. You try and drop a bucket down there and maybe there's some mud, some slime down there because the flow isn't happening. But you see, we can't let our wells get shallow by letting things get put in. If we allow the enemy to fill in our well, it will eventually dry up. Now, there's an example in Jeremiah where the Lord was dealing with them about their water situation. And he says this in Jeremiah 2:13. He says, "My people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they carved out cisterns, but broken cisterns that can hold no water." And so Israel replaced the well of living water. And of course, this is speaking of the life of following God and his ways. And he's kind of using the illustration of a cistern. A cistern was a hole in the ground, and they would put like a waterproof coating on the walls, and it would catch the rain that would flow, and it would get them through the dry seasons. But the Lord was saying, you've replaced the living water that I want to give you with other things, trying to satisfy by looking to the other nations and so forth and copying them and not following me. And so you're looking to other sources of water, but it's like a cistern that has a crack and all the water's leaking out. As fast as it comes in, it leaks out. But sometimes we can let things creep in our lives, fear or cares of this world or desires or worries. And, those are really things the enemy is trying to throw in our well and block up the flow. And the question is, will we let him deprive us of the living water? Isaac didn't let that happen. He kept digging. He wanted the flow of water to continue. And so we need to keep digging so that we can drink the living water, digging through prayer, through praise, through his word, through, believing and trusting in the living God and going forward in the things that he's saying. That's where we'll get the victory. The enemy just wants to come and fill our wells, but we can fight that. And I think we've shared this several times about how one person had a revelation about, demons and that side of the spiritual realm, about how when the saints praised the Lord, the demons said, "That feels like we're getting punched whenever the saints clap. Feels like we're getting punched." Well, if we want to stop the enemy from trying to fill up our wells, we need a good clapping session, a good praising session, a good rejoicing session to cause him to flee so that those things are washed away. Then, of course, we have to give those things to the Lord. Lord, just wash this away from my well, that there will be it will be deep and it will flow in my life. And, of course, the Lord can help us. And sometimes we don't even realize it. And sometimes we need to say, "Lord, what is blocking the flow?" Or, "Lord, I sense there's something, but would you help me? Would you show me?" And he'll do that because he is the fountain of living waters. And he is a river that will never run dry as we allow him to flow in our lives. And so let's dig. Let's ask the Lord. Let's cry out to the Lord. Let's protect and guard our well and ask the Lord to give us of that water of life. And I'll close with one last verse here in Revelation 21 and verse 6, where Jesus Well, the Lord says, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is thirsty of the fountain of the water of life freely. And that's his promise to us. Those who are thirsty, he'll freely give of his Holy Spirit, of his healing, of his life, of his power. And so let's seek to have our well established in God. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. And Lord, we look to you now and just ask that you would come as that fountain of living waters. Lord, that you would just move in our midst. And Lord, we're just looking to you. Lord, that you would come and that you would show us, Lord, these areas that we can, Lord, give ourselves to, that we can dig, Lord, and that fountain and that flow would be established in us. Oh, Lord, and I just pray that you would work, Lord. And Lord, as that fountain has been established in a measure, Lord, Lord, if the enemy's coming, trying to stop it up, Lord, would you help us? Would you show us? Would you identify, Lord, what is there? And, you know, just as I'm praying, I just want to pause a moment and I want to give an opportunity. Just ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, is there something that's blocking my well? Would you show me? We're just going to pause for a moment. Let's just pray and ask the Lord. Lord, we give our hearts to you. Lord, like David, we say, Lord, just search us and try us. And Lord, find those stones and that dirt, Lord, that the enemy is trying to put in us and block our well. But Lord, that we're asking for that fountain of living waters to flow afresh. Lord, we just give those things to you as you reveal them to us. We give them to you and ask that you would just cleanse away, Lord, that blockage that would keep your living waters from flowing in us, and that would keep that well from being established and Lord, having your living water flow. Oh, we just give our lives to you. We seek you with all of our hearts and ask that you would move afresh. Oh, we just call upon your name, fountain of living waters, move afresh in our lives, we ask, and we thank you for it. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your healing. Oh, Lord, we just look to you. We trust in you and believe in you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you.